Paula Huston is a writer. She lives in California. She's a Christian. Paula and her family just last Thanksgiving hosted a Thanksgiving dinner for friends and neighbors that were close to them. And it was at that Thanksgiving dinner at her house where she met a new person, a youngish man, 30, married with two small children. In the course of their conversation, the man shared with Paula that his kids had just gotten baptized, though he himself, like most of his generation these days, had not grown up formed in the faith, and therefore he had not gotten baptized. And Paula asked her new friend if it was hard seeing his children baptized into something new, initiated into this new religion that had been so foreign to his own experience and way of life. And they got into a fairly deep conversation. And the young man was very honest with her, even wistful. He confessed to feeling a kind of endless rootlessness, of time slipping by, of confusing drifting for freedom, of worrying about waking up when he turned 50 and not having found the life he was seeking, of not having much to look forward to that was meaningful except perhaps another payday, maybe a new car, a new job, a new city. And he became silent, and the two stood there together for a while, staring into the abyss. And suddenly, the young man returned again to the conversation about his kids. And he said this: "So now this has happened, the baptisms. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be the dad who never goes to church with his kids. I need to learn about this stuff." The young fellow was waking up to a new voice telling him there was something more, something vastly superior to anything else he had ever experienced. There was something else on offer. Now, that exchange happened on a beautiful evening in California last year between two people that I do not know. I just read about it. But it is the kind of exchange that I have had countless times over the years with you all in this place. And so often I listen in these conversations with you, and I fight the urge in myself to reply with pat religious answers to your questions, to supply therapeutic or practical solutions with some gentle encouragements, and I often fail in resisting these easy and expected responses. But when I am at my best, not nearly often enough, but when I am, I simply listen to you and I pray. And what I pray is that you are listening and that you begin to pray, paying greater attention to that voice in your soul that is beginning to speak louder, louder than it has before, beginning to interrupt the other voices you are so used to following, a new voice that may be revelatory, life-disrupting, and that you have the courage and the faith to hear it and obey it. This is the voice that says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." At the very center of the first half of Jesus' recorded ministry in and around the Sea of Galilee lies the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The only miracle, by the way, in his earthly ministry that is recorded in all four Gospels. And you know the story, right? Jesus is preaching before the masses along the seashore in Galilee, and he realizes that all these people are hungry. And taking meager amounts of bread, he touches it, blesses it, gives thanks for it, and there is an astonishing, a miraculous multiplication that feeds more than 5,000 people with bread left over. It is simply a miracle of God's grace. And the way that John tells the story and then what follows is that the people there are more taken with the physical provision than the spiritual significance. They are more interested in their earthly appetites being satisfied than their heavenly salvation. So the crowds follow Jesus, and they begin to murmur when he doesn't repeat the miracle of another free meal for them. And they murmur even more when Jesus challenges their limited consciousness of who he is, the limited scope of their lives in relation to his life. And so Jesus builds on the miracle of the multiplication of the bread, the feeding of the 5,000, in our gospel reading today, by drawing out the full connection of himself to this biblical motif, this image of bread. Jesus says before a crowd of people today that included religious leaders, "I am the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread will live forever." The original hearers of John's gospel, far more steeped in scripture than Christians of the modern West, quite frankly, they would have had a rich background of biblical understanding to connect to this bread imagery. It was a very prominent one. And Jesus' own words in our gospel text today recall the Exodus story when the people of Israel, confusing drifting for freedom in their own pathetic wilderness wanderings after they've been released from slavery from Egypt, they complain about a lack of food, and God delivers in that other miraculous story you will recall, a daily diet of a mysterious but nutritious bread-like substance called manna. So is Jesus like this manna that they experienced from the past in the wilderness? And then I'll just mention one other example. Later in the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophet Isaiah describes a restoration of all of God's people to the New Jerusalem, looking forward to a time and a place where no longer are lives lost, working for bread that can never satisfy. Isaiah 55:2. Would that we would hear that message today. Furthermore, I mentioned that there was the presence of religious leaders in Jesus' hearing in the gospel story today. Bear in mind that the rabbis of his day used the image of bread to speak of Torah, to speak of their own sacred scriptures. That is to say, to draw near to the scriptures into Torah was to receive sacred sustenance that ensures life. And so maybe those listening to Jesus, though not entirely clear by what he meant at first, wonder if he is referring to the bread of his own teaching, given how absolutely amazing he was at it. But Jesus means much more, much, much more than the bread of religious instruction. He means much, much more than a miracle of God's provision of bread to satisfy our physical hungers for another lunch. Jesus says literally, this is the appropriate translation of the gospel today, "I am myself the bread of life. I do not come as a sign. I do not come as a metaphor of something greater. I do not come merely to point to God, to talk about God, to explain God, to encourage you to ponder some new ideas and thoughts about the meaning of your life. I do not come to whet your appetite, hoping that you'll come to church more often. I am myself the fulfillment," Jesus says, "of all of God's revelation and activity in your history. It all ends up pointing to me. It is I. And everything this world was created for, all that you were born to be, all that you are living to experience despite your captivity to other gods, all that I am willing to die for. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, his body like bread, lifted up, broken, and shared to satisfy the hungers of the whole world." So we are, each one of us, born with, live with deep spiritual hunger that only Jesus Christ in his very person can fill. That is the essence of what we proclaim as Christians. And Jesus wants to do so. He dies to do so. We share this Lord and Savior in a community that is, on the whole, very grateful we are, for good and decent lives, but at a much deeper level yearns for something better, what we might call a truly human life. And by the way, I think this is what Paul is getting at in his 8th chapter in the letter to the Romans, where he describes this inner groaning. The Holy Spirit is working in that with sighs too deep for words, but we begin to hear something stirring there, this eager expectation for the fulfillment that is ours to have, for more. And to put a more contemporary cast on it, I was driving in my car home several days ago, and I heard a pop song on the radio by Jillian Edwards called Nonfiction Love Song. Here's the way the first stanza goes. Want to write a nonfiction love song, because I don't have one yet. I've got almost and maybes and what happened here, baby, but not a love song. We want to write a nonfiction love song. We want to write a nonfiction life, a fully flourishing, abundant life. Not one of almost and maybes like in the song or in the life of that young man at Thanksgiving dinner. And so I want to say to you, and this is a very, very familiar message for me, I know, but there is good news. There is great hope when we confess the desire for a nonfiction life that really is the eternal life God promises us here and now on earth as it is in heaven. There is good news when we begin to discern a clash of voices down deep. One, the usual one, speaking again of provision, of more stuff, of more success, of more of everything, more fulfillment of our ambitions and appetites, and a new voice getting louder, speaking of conversion or transformation, abundant life in Christ. Not the satisfaction of our wants, but the desire for new wants. Wanting God and wanting God to have his way with us. So the good news is that when you get to this place where you hear the voice that there's got to be more than this, and many of you circle around this place all the time. You're my friends. I know. When you get to where your hunger for the bread of heaven is greater than your hunger for worldly bread, you are in a place that is very close to Jesus, who gave up his flesh, his body, that our bodies, that our lives might live. So, I know that some of our children started school last week, others of ours will start this coming week, and others the week after that. All of this reminds us about how closely our program year at the church follows the school year, and so we're very close to that here at St. George's. And I say the following recognizing that it's a kind of a time of people making New Year's resolutions, if you will, in the life of the church. I stand here in this particular place. It's so familiar to me, this pulpit. And as I do every time, I pray that God will help me to preach something that is faithful. But not simply to preach, because if that is to happen, I am called to pray and to listen to my life and to yours. So may we all come to a greater conviction here that endless busyness and striving to satisfy important but secondary hungers is actually a kind of drifting through life. May we all come to hear the clash of voices deep down as the beginning of the good news. And may we be granted faith. Simple, clear, strong faith. To trust that every human need and inadequacy and waywardness in us is met and fulfilled in Jesus. He is the satisfaction of all of our hungers. The bread of life that is found nowhere else.